Here we are on Tuesday, and it's a real cloudy day in Istanbul. Yesterday, spent the whole day in the city with two main purposes. One was to see Istanbul a little and to meet the people, and the other was to visit the Grand Market and see the type of jewelry that would be available either for purchase or for ordering for Rari Sham. Anyway, we're both successful on both venues. We went to see the Sultan Ahmed Mosque, and that's the biggest mosque in Turkey and also in Istanbul. It was built just in the beginning of the 1600s by the Sultan Ahmed. It's an extremely impressive mosque. Inside, it's 43 meters high, and it has six minarets with really half domes and full domes, and enormous, big, cavernous interior. It's all stone, actually, outside completely. In other words, it isn't clad. Inside, part of it is stone, part of it is covered with blue tiles. That's why it's one of the mosques that's known as the Blue Mosque. And then it's painted also. It's one of the biggest tourist sites of Istanbul, and there were hundreds, maybe thousands of tourists inside, but the place is so big that tourists weren't crowded. Actually, there could have been two times, three times as many people present. I was very interested because the architecture that the Ottomans, the Afghans, Uzbeks used influenced very much the architecture in North India, and many of the temples that we see, particularly in Vrindavan, use arches, domes, pillars that, if not directly, are very much influenced by this type of architecture. They're very, very, very good architects and very beautiful. I don't know, I wouldn't say that the mosque struck me as being beautiful. It was maybe too big for that and too unornate. It was certainly very impressive and really gave a sense of grandeur from the outside. I'd say it's probably more impressive than the inside. One very interesting aspect of it was the lighting is that there was this enormous chandelier which hung maybe 4 meters from the ground. In fact, the whole interior was a series of, when you looked up, just wires from which many chandeliers were hanging. It really obstructed the interior view quite a bit. And it seems like that's the way the lighting was since the times of yore, although now there's electric lighting in there. Originally there were oil lamps, and many of these were very decorative, either crystals, they were decorated with valuable stones. I hear some of them were even actually ostrich eggs served as the lampshades. Anyway, it was very interesting. I realized that I wouldn't build such a big temple for Rari Sham. They would really get lost, and the whole sense of intimacy and human scale of Krishna and Krishna's pastimes would get lost. Although such a scale of building would certainly serve something which could be a open plan blend of temple, reception, restaurant, so many other different things. But then I doubt whether such a large, massive stone structure would be necessary. It could be served by RCC, and even better, by a glass and steel structure, like I saw, for instance, the Grand Palais in Paris and the Petit Palais. They were much more beautiful buildings, and also of a large-scale design. So that's the report on Sultan Ahmed Mosque, or also known as the Blue Mosque, or one of the Blue Mosques. There are some others. Then we went to the Grand Market, and there were really a lot of jewelers over there, and they had a lot of wonderful jewelry. By talking with them, I could I was informed some of them are actually made by local artisans, although I don't think that the versatility of the local artisans anywhere nears that of Indian jewelers. When I asked them to make some things, it wasn't like an easy, sure, no problem, and this is how much it costs per gram, they responded in the general way in which sort of mass marketing jewelers do, is that they'll make anything that's ready-made, and special things they charge five times as much for, if they can even be bothered with doing it. So I still think that Indian manufacturing is second to none. At least at present. And then there were other things that were from Bulgaria and Romania and Italy and all over the world. But considering the prices, the ability to bargain them down, which I had a few good tries at, and the variety which was there, it's worth the while sometimes, either for a Janmashtami or if some donors want to sponsor some ornaments. A quick flight, hour and a half flight from Budapest to here, relatively inexpensive, easy to come here as opposed to going to some lengthy trip in India. So that was good. We saw some really beautiful things. There was this one breastplate, which would be very nice for Shamsundar. It was all of solid gold inlaid with stones, and that went for $45,000. Needless to say, we didn't purchase it. I did get one belated Radhastami gift for Srimati Radharani, which was very nice. And yes, they work a lot with 14 and 18 karat gold, as opposed to India, who works with 22 karat. Of course, that's useful for humans who are wearing and moving the ornamentation around. For Radhe Shyam, who are sitting still, it's not necessary to be so cautious. It's only the pujaris who have to be cautious with them. So anyone wanting to sponsor some beautiful jewelry for Radhe Shyam, they can let me know. This is a good place to do it. And most likely we will be coming back here for that purpose. Well, we'll be coming back here for preaching, but that will also give us access to the Grand Market and its many jewelry shops. Of course, the whole purpose here wasn't just to see sights, but it was also to meet people, and I had lots of opportunity for meeting people. I was really struck by their culture. They're very cultured people. They're very polite, very, very curious. They're just like Indians. I have one of these clickers, first time in my life that I use clickers, because we didn't want to walk around with a bead bag, especially my big bead bag. So in keeping with civilian clothes, I was walking around with a clicker, and they wanted to know what it was that I was chanting, whether I was chanting Allah's names. I told them that I was chanting mantra. They wanted to know what the mantra was. When I spoke with people like that, then they saw my little medallion of Srila Prabhupada that I wear around my neck and wanted to know who that was. I told him he was my spiritual father, which had to be qualified because they recognized that it was someone who was Indian and I wasn't Indian. So I told him he was my guru. It was actually very... very interesting experience to see how Muslim people are very open about their religion. They're very forward about it, and that really makes for a very strong spiritual cultural basis, something that we as Vaishnavas could also be doing in the public, being more open about Krishna consciousness. These people are very open about their beliefs, very open about Allah, what to speak of the fact that five times a day everywhere you just hear prayers being sung from the local mosques. The first one here starts at 5:30 in the morning. What of the nature of the Islam belief or religion? Certainly this very proud to be Muslim demeanor is makes for a strong reinforcement of one's faith, and it also adds a certain value to their culture. You can feel it, that people therefore have a real cultural identity. They identify with being Muslims. Anyway, that was very instructive, and it was very pleasant actually meeting Turkish people. And I don't know whether it was just in the markets that we went, but they spoke many languages. With the same person I spoke to in Hungarian, in fluent Hungarian, English, and French. And then he knew some of the languages I didn't know, like German and so on. So, all in all, we're getting to learn a little more about those people to whom we want to, in some way or another, introduce Krishna consciousness. Okay, we're going to do puja and have lunch and get ready to go out again. This time we want to see the Hagia Sophia, which is the other mosque, which is being converted into a museum opposite the Sultan Ahmed Mosque, and then also to see the Topkapi Palace, which is the residence of Sultan Ahmed, as well as it's right on the Golden Horn, or the most central point of Istanbul. Hare Krishna.